Track 6. It's great to be back at the sports desk after my break, and I'm looking forward to bringing you an update on what's been happening while I've been away. There's been a huge amount of sporting action nationally and locally, this being high summer. We'll do our best to cover the highlights. In local soccer, there's been no action on the field, as it's the close season, but so far as Stourbridge Football Club are concerned, plenty of action off it, as the club have brought in several new signings to bolster the squad in yet another attempt to climb out of the Northern Premier League during the coming season. There have been departures as well, the most notable being Luke Benbow. Regular listeners will perhaps recall how often I mentioned him during the last season as the scorer of vital goals. The club's top scorer by far during 2016-17 has been tempted away to join Solihull Moors in the National League. That's a higher level than Stourbridge, so you can understand him taking the chance, but Glasboys will undoubtedly miss his opportunism in front of the opposition goalposts. There are going to be quite a few new faces when the team lines up for the new season in August. But the local cricket season is in full swing, with already a third of the league fixtures completed in the Worcestershire County League. Of the local teams in the top two divisions, Hagley are faring best. They've won the last two matches, including a rain-affected contest on Saturday against Worcester Cricket Club, a match Hagley would have eagerly anticipated, as Worcester were the only unbeaten team in the top division until Saturday. Hagley piled on 297 for 7 from their 50 overs. They must have read the weather forecast and knew the rain was coming. With the match interrupted, Worcester were set a revised target of 114 from a reduced total of 20 overs, but they failed to reach it, being on 91 for 5 when the match was abandoned and victory awarded to Hagley, who are now up to third in the league table, just behind Worcester, whom they beat on Saturday, and the league leaders Bewdley. Pedmore are in the same division, but their struggles are currently at the wrong end of the league table and were not helped at the weekend when Bewdley, the league leaders, visited them. I don't think the rain, which arrived late afternoon, was in time to interrupt this one. Bewdley batted first and scored 209 for 6, in reply to which Bedmore was skittled for just 66 runs. Oh dear, they're second bottom of the league table now. In the second division, there was a hard-fought contest between Lye and Bell Broughton, also rain-affected, which the latter narrowly won. A high-scoring match this. Lye scored 325 for 7 from the full 50 overs, the highlight being a century from Anwar, but Bell Broughton were within sight of a probable victory on 309 for 5 with 5 overs left when the deluge began. The scores were recalculated based on 45 overs aside, at which point Lye had amassed 293, so Bell Broughton were awarded the victory. But the closest result of the day must have been Old Swinford's one-wicket win against Old Vigornians. The latter had totalled 255 for 6 batting first, but Old Swinford just made it over the winning line, making 256 for 9 in the 49th over, only their second win of the season and one that hoists them a little bit clearer of the relegation zone. Nationally, or I should say internationally, cricket supporters have been watching the current ICC Championship Series involving the top 8 cricketing nations playing one another in 50 overs a-side matches to decide the world champions. The matches have been spread between Edgbaston, the Oval and Cardiff. The trophy is held by India, who defeated England in the last final 4 years ago. Initially, the 8 countries were divided into 2 groups of 4 who played the other 3 teams in their group, with the top 2 at the end of that moving on to the semi-finals, which is just the stage the tournament has now reached. England did well in their group, winning against Bangladesh, New Zealand and Australia. By winning their group, they'll face Pakistan, who finished second in the other group in the semi-final, which is being played today, Wednesday. Bangladesh, the surprise package of the tournament, finished second to England in their group and will face India in the other semi-final to be played on Thursday. We may well have a repeat of the 2013 final, England versus India, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Now for the local Speedway news. The Wolverhampton Wolves currently have a sizeable lead in the elite league table, which they consolidated on Monday evening with a 54 points to 39 home win against bottom of the league Leicester. Freddie Lindgren, who I always seem to mention in the context of the Wolves, has been under the weather following an injury 3 weeks ago, but he declared himself back to more or less full fitness and proved it with 5 heat wins out of 5 on Monday. He was well supported by his teammates and the victory was seldom in doubt. Wolves remain unbeaten at home this season and lead the elite league by an 8-point margin at present, but they've taken part in more matches than the chasing teams. Their next two meetings are in the knockout cup competition, and the team don't have another league fixture until the end of the month. Meanwhile, fans of the Cradley Heathens must be longing for next Monday, the 19th, when their team will be in action in the National League against Kent, their very first home fixture since the beginning of May. In the meantime, they've raced five away fixtures where the record reads 1-2, lost 2, and one abandoned halfway through due to rain. I'm sure the riders will be glad to get back in the saddle as well. They've not had a match since the end of May when they lost narrowly against Lakeside. Heathens are currently fifth in the 11-team National League table. Well, it's June, and for the next month or so, this country will be the centre of the tennis world as the grass court season holds sway. I watched on television a fair amount of the action from the French Open, which reached its climax in Paris on Sunday with a Rafa Nadal masterclass as he crunched Stan Wawrinka in the men's final. If Wawrinka was wonderful when he defeated Andy Murray in the semi-final, he was reduced to a head-shaking nonentity 2 days later. With Djokovic off the boil, Federer currently an unknown quantity, and Nadal in his full pomp, the Spaniard could be a major threat to all the other competitors at Wimbledon. And he seemed to have shaken off his injury woes and was playing better and better through the French tournament until he came up against Wawrinka in the semi-final. On the women's side, what can you say about Ostapenko, the 20-year-old Latvian who stormed her way to the title in Paris? I say stormed advisedly, for she sure can lash a tennis ball. She seems to have no fear, no nerves, and she's already won the junior Wimbledon title 3 years ago, so she's clearly at home playing on grass. Before that championship begins, there are the ladies' tournaments at Edgbaston and Eastbourne to look forward to, as well as the men's Aegon Championship at Queen's Club in London. Over the next 4 weeks or so, I can foresee my garden being neglected. My two favourite sports are probably tennis and rugby union, so I can enjoy a double dose of sofa sprawling in front of the TV thanks to the British and Irish Lions Tour of New Zealand, in addition to the tennis. The Lions tour every 4 years, and they visit in turn New Zealand, Australia and South Africa, so it's 12 years since they were last in the land of the Kiwis. They've only won the Test Match Series there once, way back in 1971, and they've become well used to being taunted as the underdogs by their hosts, branded as inadequate losers, and so on. New Zealand play quite a lot of their rugby via the media, even before action starts on the field. The current tour began as though they might well live up to these insults, the Lions, but I believe they've picked up the pace in the last couple of matches, although they did manage to lose by the narrow margin of 23-22 against the Highlanders team yesterday. The first of three internationals against the All Blacks is due on Saturday week, and commentators are saying the opening match is a must-win for the Lions, otherwise they will be scrunched. Lewis Hamilton was another sportsman facing a must-win situation in the latest Formula One contest, the Canadian Grand Prix, which took place on Sunday on the circuit on an island in the St. Lawrence River in Montreal. After an indifferent start to the season, Hamilton and the Mercedes team were well adrift of their arch-rivals Ferrari, led by Sebastian Vettel. Hamilton had endured a dire series of practice sessions, as well as the race itself when the teams competed at Monaco 2 weeks before, and he really needed something special at Montreal. He's a fighter, and he pulled through. Fastest in practice, he set off from first place on the starting grid, and he was never headed, indeed never seriously challenged. Vettel's turn to encounter trouble came on Sunday, and he could finish only fourth, which enabled Hamilton to make up a lot of ground in the Drivers' Championship. Even better news for the Mercedes team, Valtteri Bottas, their number two driver, followed Hamilton home in second place. Hamilton is now just a dozen points behind Vettel in this year's Drivers' Championship table, with Bottas some way back in third. In the Constructors' Championship, the Mercedes 1-2 at Montreal has pushed them just ahead of Ferrari at the top, while the Red Bull team in third place have only half as many points as Ferrari. Now, for all the teams, it's back to Europe. Well, almost. The next race is in Baku, Azerbaijan, weekend after next. Now, I know it's the middle of June, the soccer season should be the last thing on our minds, but they are still playing, and I can't let it pass without comment that the England team have just won the Under-20 World Cup tournament held in South Korea. They beat Venezuela 1-0 in the final thanks to a first-half goal from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's on Everton's books, and equally thanks to goalkeeper Freddie Woodman, who belongs to Newcastle United and who saved a penalty in Sunday's match. None of the players in the final have yet appeared in their club's first team, but who knows? England have never previously won this under-20 tournament, but they did once reach a semi-final in which they were beaten by Ghana. Maybe by the time of the Senior World Cup in a few years, we'll have a senior team able to challenge for honours. That's all from me this week. I'll be back next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.